Open up your Bibles with me tonight, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 3. Open up to Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. We'll read verses 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians 3, verse number 20. The Word of God says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." These two verses we're going to look at tonight, really verse 20 is where we're going to spend the majority of our time tonight. I'm interested in the thought as how verse number 20 begins, "Now unto him that is able." Now unto him that is able. That's our thought tonight. In verse number 20, he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I think sometimes we as fundamentalists and we as cessationists, you might not have known you were one of them, but you are one of them if you believe what our church teaches. A cessationist is one who believes that the sign gifts have ceased, that they ceased with the pinning down and the conclusion of the pinning down of Revelation. We read a verse like this, and I think sometimes have a knee-jerk reaction. We read a verse like this, and we're afraid if we say much about it that we might be labeled charismatic. We're afraid that we might be labeled one of the practitioners of the name it and claim it gospel, the health and wealth gospel. That's dangerous to view anything that way. Do you know that that's why there's a lot of independent Baptist churches tonight that nobody will say amen, nobody will shout, because they're afraid of being thought of as being charismatic. You are aware of the fact that there were Baptists shouting for the glory of God before there ever was a charismatic on the face of the globe. And so that's our thought on it, and that's our approach to it. If the Bible says it, we believe it. And Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20, will do no harm to sound doctrine if rightly divided. If proper exegesis is applied to the verse. And so that's what we intend to do tonight, and we're doing it with a particular thought in mind, with applying it to a particular subject. We'll talk about that in a minute. He said, "Now unto him." Who's the him? Well, it's God the Father. It's God the Son. It's God the Holy Ghost. It's as we talked about in our prayer room a few minutes ago. He's a triune God. Amen. We're not oneness. We believe in a triune God. We believe in a holy Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, co-equal and co-eternal, one not above and one not below the other. And so that's what we believe, and that's who it's speaking of. "Now unto him that is able." God is able. You could just about put a period right there and rejoice over that till Jesus comes back. "Now unto him that is able." What's he able to do? I'll tell you what he's able to do. Anything that he sets his mind to do. He's able to do anything. And I'm afraid that we sometimes, inadvertently, maybe even unknowingly to ourselves, we limit God.
Right.
We get to thinking there's certain things God can't do. Yeah. We would never vocalize that. We'd never audibly say that. But at least according to our own actions, according to our own prayer life, we've decided that there's some things God just can't do. At least that he's not going to do. It said, "Now unto him that's able." He's able to do anything that he sets his mind to. Well, maybe that's so, preacher, but maybe just barely. That's not what the verse said. That's not what the verse said at all. It said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Exceedingly abundantly is the word that's used above all that we ask or think. Those two words, exceedingly abundant, or rather exceeding abundantly, those two words used in the same sentence, one after the other, only happens three times in the entire New Testament. Obviously, this is one of the three. You have it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, and then again in chapter 5 and verse 13. That's the only three times that it happens in the entirety of the New Testament. And what it means is literally to an extent which we cannot express. So what it means when it says now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, it means that whatever we ask or think, and I'll define that a little more pinpoint specific here in a minute, but what we ask and what we think, not only can he do it, but he can do it exceeding abundantly, meaning to an extent which we cannot express. He can do it in abundance. He can do it far above measure. We serve an extra mile God. We serve a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly, more than we could ask or think. In regards to the ask or think, we know, and we don't have to recover it again. Not long ago, we talked to you about prayer and prayer being answered. And we said that we give you scriptures where the Bible said you ask and you have not. And the reason that you ask and have not is because you ask amiss, that you might consume it on your own lust. That's not the kind of praying that this verse is talking about. Jesus said if we ask anything according to his will, that we have it, that he hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. That's exactly what he does. And that is the context here. If you want to, I told you that this verse does no harm to sound doctrine if proper exegesis is practiced on the verse, and that's what we're talking about. It doesn't mean, as some of the charismatics would take this verse and say, well, it says that he can do exceeding abundant above anything that we ask or think, so I'm going to ask God for a new Cadillac, and I'm making minimum wage. That's not what it's talking about. I'm going to tell you something. God is not very concerned about you having a new Cadillac. God's not very concerned with your happiness. God's ultimately concerned with your holiness is what he's concerned with. God's interested in your holiness. He's interested in getting glory to himself. He's interested in sinners being saved. He's interested in saints growing in grace and knowledge. And when we ask or think anything in that along those lines in accordance with his will, you can take it to the bank, beloved. He's able. He's not, listen, God's not headed to the old folk home. God's not getting ready to retire or resign. He is God and he shall always be God. Listen, tonight as we sit here, in this church right here on Cotton Gin Port Road, I want you to be aware of something. The very God that we bow our knee and pray to is the very God that split the Red Sea. Amen. He's that very self-same God. Amen. He's the God that we read of doing all of those great miracles in the Bible. When we bow our knee and pray to God tonight and ask him to save some sinner that we know, maybe some family member, he's the very same God that saved Saul of Tarsus on the road that day. He's the very same God, and his nature's still the same. Amen. We talked about him this morning, how that he's a never-changing God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and there's no shadow of turning with him. Amen. I tell you, that's big news, beloved. It's a big God that we serve, and he's a big God that gets things done. He's a big God that answers prayer. And if his children ask him and believe him, he answers prayers. He answers prayer. I want to read a couple of things to you here that I jotted down. I want to say some more about this verse in relation to a particular matter. Matthew Henry, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Matthew Henry or not. He's a popular commentator from a couple of centuries ago. Matthew Henry was brilliant. You ought to read Matthew Henry's commentary, but you ought to read about Matthew Henry. If I remember correctly, Matthew Henry was fluent. He could read anything he wanted to read at about 3 years old. And by the time he was 5 years old, he was fluent in multiple languages. Just an absolute brilliant mind. And I tell you, he magnified the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that he wrote. Here's what Matthew Henry said about this particular verse and what it says. Matthew Henry said, "It is proper always to end prayer with praises. Let us expect more and ask for more, encouraged by what Christ has already done for our souls, being assured that the conversion of sinners and the comfort of believers will be to His glory forever and ever." You know what Matthew Henry said? Said you ought to talk to God like you believe He'll answer a prayer. I tell you, most of the time when we're praying, we're putting back doors and windows all in the prayer for God to escape out of in case He's to be of a mind not to answer the prayer. You understand what I'm talking about? We ought to pray like we believe something. We ought to pray like we believe that God's going to hear. You ever heard of William Carey? Anybody heard of William Carey? William Carey was an English Baptist preacher. He's known as the father of modern missions. William Carey was born into poverty. He was an apprentice cobbler, which is a shoemaker. And God saved his soul. And God providentially worked it out. He had no money. But through his cobbler work, he come into contact with some people of means. And he was able to learn Greek and Hebrew. And he is an absolute brilliant mind. And William Carey become burdened for what he called the heathen around the world, those that had never heard the name of Jesus. Now, at that time, Carey was born in 1761. He died in 1834. And in his lifetime, in those early years, when he began to want to try to reach the heathen abroad, that had never been heard of. The concept of a man leaving civilized cultures and going into a heathen land and trying to reach them with the gospel was almost blasphemous. The majority of the Christian world that wasn't Catholic at that time was what we would call hyper-Calvinist. And what hyper-Calvinists believe, they take biblical terms and biblical doctrines, such as election and predestination, and they take it to an extent that the Bible never took it. And they say that you could be the elect of God and God would somehow reach you without you ever hearing the gospel, without you ever hearing the name of Jesus. And if you were the elect of God, you could have a knee bowed to a pagan god, fall over dead with a heart attack, and somehow make it to heaven. That's what they believe. And so that's why you listen to primitive Baptist preachers. They don't believe in sending a missionary anywhere. They don't believe any of that. Absolute fatalist. Having said that, William Carey seen the need to go and reach the heathen, as they called them, in the lands that had never heard the gospel. And he stood as a young preacher and preached a message to a gathering of preachers out of the book of Isaiah, chapter number 54, verses 2 and 3. And he was quoted in that message for having said this. And this is a quote that is still said from pulpits around the world. William Carey's noted for it still today. He said, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." That's a wonderful quote. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. When William Carey came down from the pulpit, an enraged older preacher told him, "Young man, I'll have you to know, if it ever pleases God Almighty to save the heathen, God will save them with or without you, William Carey." He was a hyper-Calvinist. Well, do you think that deterred William Carey? As Brother Sammy Allen would have said, he said, not one bit. He continued right on. He continued right on. He went on into India, and he served in India 41 years without ever coming home on furlough. 41 years straight. You say, boy, I bet God used him greatly. Well, he was there for 41 years, and he never seen one soul saved for the first 7 years. 7 years he labored diligently, not one soul saved. He seen his first Hindu convert after he'd been there on the field 7 years. And after spending a lifetime in India, he seen roughly 700 converts in a nation of millions. Yeah. Millions of people. But I told you that William Carey is today known as the father of modern missions. He's quoted, that quote that I just gave you has been quoted tens of millions of times by Christian missionaries. William Carey made a mark for God and continues to make a mark for God. Do you know why? Because he believed the Bible. Because he believed the God of the Bible. Because he believed that God wasn't retiring, that he wasn't going to the old folks' home, that he hadn't grown weak and feeble. He believed that. He believed this verse that we've read to you tonight. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He believed that. God's able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. That means to that extent which we cannot express above all that we ask or think. I want to tell you what God's not going to do in your life. He ain't going to do what you ain't asking. He's not going to do what you ain't asking. What are you asking him for? Are you asking him things that's in line with his will? We ain't talking new Cadillacs. You hadn't forgot that, have you? We ain't talking about new Cadillacs. We're talking about things in line with God's word. And in line with God's will. Above anything that we could ask or think. Do you ever think thoughts about what you'd love to see God do? Do you ever think about your family? About your spouse? About your parents? About your children? Grandchildren? What you'd love to see God do in their life? You know what God said about himself? He said, I'm able. He said, I'm able to do it. He said, I can do it. He said, why don't you ask me? You know, in regard to the subject of tithing, he issued a challenge when it came to tithing. He said, why don't you give to me? He said, I'll challenge you. He said, see if you can outgive me. I promise you, you can't outgive me. Now, I know that's two different things, but yet the principle remains the same. Anything that falls in line with God's will, I'm telling you, you pray and you see if God won't do. You pray and see if God won't do the things that you want to see God do in your family. You want to see your grandbabies love God? Pray! You ever think about that? How sweet it'd be to see your grandbabies fall in love with Jesus and serve Him to their dying day? Well, keep thinking it, but do something about it. Pray. Talk to God about it. Beg God to do something in the lives of your family. Beg Him to do it. In the lives of your children and of your grandchildren. What about in your church? In your church family? You ever get to thinking about things you'd love to see God do? You ever thought about asking Him? You ever thought about telling God what you're thinking? See if you can surprise Him. You won't ever surprise Him. He already knew what you was thinking, but He'd like to hear it. Talk to God about what you think. God, I'd love to see you bless my church. Lord, I'd love to see you send some folk. I'd love to see some folk get in, see some folk get saved. What about that little old couple that's with us this morning? Wouldn't that be something if they was to get in about chin deep?
Amen.
I don't know where they stand with God. I don't know where their soul rests with God. But if they're lost, wouldn't it be something to see them get saved? Wouldn't it be something to see them fall in love with Jesus and serve God right here just wide open fervently as they could? You reckon God's able to do that? I believe He's able to do that. His arm's not shortened. He's not weakened. He's not grown faint. He's the same God, remember, that parted the Red Seas. You don't think He can take a little fella and a little old lady over yonder at the intersection of Moss and Church Road over there and draw them over here and save their soul and cause them to love God to their dying day? You better believe He can do that. He took a heathen like me and you and saved us and caused us to love Jesus.
Amen.
He can do anything. He can do anything. He can do absolutely anything. Do you reckon God would want, and this is where I was wanting to go to tonight, do you reckon God would want to do something real big in our Bible conference? You reckon God would want to bless in it? Do you reckon God would want to give some preachers and preachers' wives and their families some help, some encouragement? To help them go back to their field of labor and serve God another day and do it not under a sense of burden and constraint, but do it out of joy. You reckon God would be interested in doing that? Let me ask you another question. You reckon he's able? You reckon he can? He says he can. He said he could do anything. He said he was exceedingly abundantly able to. He can do that. Do you reckon that a God in heaven might would be happy, that he might would be pleased to take a little old group of folk like you that's just been laboring and laboring, even here over the last couple of weeks, just laboring, coming and working, coming and working. And some of you for 30 and some 40 and some 50 years been working every year to put on a Bible conference, to try to be a blessing to God's people, to try to honor God. Do you reckon, do you think it could be possible that it might just be in the will of God, that it might please God Almighty for him to help you in a meeting like that and give you some help? Even though you're doing everything you can do to try to be some help to somebody else, do you reckon that it's possible that it could just work like that? Like that promise and that principle that he gave us toward tithing, that you can give and give and give and he'll still outgive you? Do you reckon it could be that you labor, that you could labor and labor and labor here for 30, 40, 50 years, try to be a blessing to somebody, and God could do something for you in this very meeting to recompense you tenfold for any and everything that you've ever put in as far as laboring for God? I believe he could do that. I'm not trying to be a cheerleader, and this is not a pep rally. I'm trying to be an honest Baptist preacher and tell you that we sell God short. We act like God's an old papaw sitting on the front porch about half asleep and about half unaware of everything that's going on, but that's not our God. He's keenly aware of everything that's going on, and God's in the business of doing great things in the lives of his people. Why? So that they could bask and so that they could glory and live on a bed of ease? Not at all. Not at all. I've told you before and I'll tell you again, God does what he does to get glory and honor to himself, and that doesn't make him a narcissistic God. He's worthy of all the glory and all the honor that this world and 10,000 worlds could ever contain. But it gets God honor and it gets God glory when he's able to help his people. It does that. We ought to pray to that end. We ought to pray believing. We ought to pray believing that some of these preachers that come here, they ain't no telling some of the conditions that some of them's in. I tell you, I'm not one of them woe is me and down in the mouth preachers. Never have been. Don't want to start being one tonight. But I know a little something about preaching. And I know a little something about preachers. And some preachers, they hoe a mighty lonely row and a mighty tough row. Every church is not like your church. Every church is not tranquil. Every church is not peaceful. And it's very likely that some of these men come in here in this Bible conference that they're fighting hell by the acre. And it seems like everybody's turned against them and nobody understands the stands that they're taking. I tell you, if you want to know ulcers, if you want to know turmoil, surrender to preach and pastor a Baptist church. It can work on you sometimes, especially certain churches. Churches just like people. Some of them's harder to love than others. It's hard sometimes. I remember what it's like as a young, not necessarily young, but a younger preacher. I remember what it's like to drive to church on Wednesday night wondering, well, when I take the stand I'm going to take tonight, are they going to vote me out? What are they going to do? I know what that's like. And there's a lot of them fellas might be in that very place. They need encouragement. That's what they need. God help them. We need to pray over them. We need to pray over every preacher that'll come. We need to be praying that God will be dealing. Listen, preachers get backslid too. Every one of them preachers that's coming, we need to be praying that the Holy Ghost of God be cleaning out their life. Amen. Getting them cleaned up, getting them polished up, getting them ready to preach. We need to be praying over every preacher's wife and their family, every lay person, every soul that'll be here. We need to be praying over them. That God would give them ear to hear. That God would touch their hearts. That God would do something for them. And listen, it's not selfish. We need to be praying for ourselves. Amen. That God do something in our lives. You say, preacher, I'm not in that kind of shape that you just described. Well, thank God for that. But God could still do great things for you in this meeting. There's no telling. Some one single message you could hear in this meeting, God could use it years down the road in your life. God help us. to take the matter serious. I want to issue a challenge to you, and I'll close. I want to challenge you to pray on a daily basis over this Bible conference, morning and night. I want to ask you to pray every day. Beginning tomorrow is only 12 days until. I want to challenge you to pray every day for every preacher that will preach, for every person that would come and be in attendance, for every one of your church family members, and for yourself. I'd even encourage you. Jesus spoke about certain kinds of power, certain prayers being answered only by way of fasting. He said, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. And if you're capable and willing, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Take you a day or two and fast. I promise you it won't kill you. You might think it will. It won't kill you. Won't kill you. Won't hurt you at all. Earnestly pray and believe God. I guess I'll close tonight by saying this. If you want to know what you're going to get out of this Bible conference individually, if you want to know what you're going to get out of it as a family or what we're going to get out of it as a church, well, we're going to get out of it exactly what we believe we'll get out of it. God's not going to do more for you than what you expect. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. You put the prayer in, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the work that y'all are there. There's no way me and Miss Shannon could do all that by ourselves, and y'all don't have to be poked and prodded. I appreciate that so much. Just ask what to do and somebody tell you and you go at it and do it. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. You make an A-plus on the work. And I trust many of you have already been praying on a daily basis. I want to encourage you to keep praying. If you hadn't been, I'm not strapping your legs. I'm not shaming you. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to exhort you. I'm trying to tell you that the God who loved you and gave himself for you, he's got more for you than what you have right now. And if you'll pray and ask and believe God, there ain't no telling what God might do for you in this very meeting. Lord, bless my heart if I seen God fill some of you up. Do you know there's such things being filled with the Holy Ghost of God? I didn't say a thing about speaking in tongues. I didn't say a thing about slain in the spirit. I didn't say no such a thing. I said there's such a thing as being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. It ain't getting saved. And it's not a second work of grace. This bottle of water is 3/4 full. If I want to fill it the rest of the way full of water, Brother Corey, something will have to be displaced, won't it? As I add that water, air will have to be displaced, right? You know how you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Something has to be displaced. You know what will have to be displaced? You. Self. That's what will have to be displaced. Wouldn't it be something if God filled you up during this meeting? Some of you have been saved a lot of years, but you ain't ever been filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if God was to fill you up? All these years you've been saved, and you know that you're saved, but you look at people like Brother Ernest and think that he's got the name brand salvation, and you got equate, that you got great value salvation. That ain't the case. He knows what it was to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You say, I wish I'd be happy like him. I wish I could shout. I wish I could be as excited about Jesus as he is. Well, he's told me about the time he was filled with the Holy Ghost of God right there in his living room. You can get filled up. You won't ever be the same. I'm going to tell you, it's much akin to what my pastor told me years ago as a young preacher. He said, son, when God fills you up preaching with Holy Ghost unction, one time, he said, you won't ever be satisfied without it being that way again. And that's the truth. That's the truth. The first time, a lot of folks preach a lot of times before they ever preach full of the Holy Ghost of God. I remember the first time I'd done preaching a few years. Man, I was in Pensacola, Florida, of all places. I mean, if God do something for you in Pensacola, Florida, he'd do something anywhere. I was in Pensacola, Florida, and I mean, as a fellow there hated my guts. I believe it would have cut me if it could have got to me. And God got on me, and I'm talking about I lit into preaching. And I preached, Brother Ernest, till I thought, I literally thought, Lord, if you don't let up off of me, I might die. I was wringing wet. My kidneys was hurting. My spine was hurting. I was in a miserable place physically. But it was wonderful. It was the most wonderful experience I'd ever had to that point in my life. And I can't explain to you how glorious it was. Being filled with the Holy Ghost of God is like, it's not just a thing for preachers. It ain't just a thing for deacons. You can have that. God might do that if you're in this meeting. If you wanted that, if you wanted it, and you was willing to pray and say, God, if you'll empty me of me, I'm willing to back up, empty me of me and fill me with you. God's liable to do that. You reckon he's able? He's able. He's absolutely able. He's absolutely able. You can have anything from God you want in this meeting in accordance to his will. He ain't going to give you a new Cadillac. I done told you twice, third time, I ain't hitting it again. You ain't getting a new Cadillac. Forget about it. One of these is going to go buy one just to show me, ain't you? But God will give you all of himself that you want. God do great things in your life. God's liable to work in some of your family. You believe he could? You believe he would? Let's pray like it. Let's pray to him about it. And when we pray to him, let's don't leave the back door open for God to, like we think God's going to need to sneak out because he ain't going to be able to answer the prayer that we ask. Talk to him like you believe it. You remember here a few weeks ago, a week or two ago, I told you about the little old girl and her granddaddy in the revival meeting when the drought was there and Brother Percy Ray said, we got to pray for rain. Y'all remember me telling you about that? Do you remember how they went walking to town in the middle of August, hot sun beating down, in raincoats and umbrellas held over their head? Everybody laughed at them. Everybody made fun. Before the sun set that evening, the creeks was out of the banks. That's the kind of praying I'm talking about doing. That's the kind of praying I'm talking about doing. God help us. We can have all of them we want. You know what would be a total shame? It'd be a total shame to put all of this work and all of this effort and all of this expense into such a meeting as this. And because we don't believe God, don't get from him what we need from him in the meeting. We've put the labor in. The expense will be put in. We'll pay for the meeting. The only thing left for it to be a wonderful meeting is for me and you just to believe God. Believe God and trust him to give us what we need. Don't you need something? I need something. I need something from God. I'm going to say you need something from God. Let's just believe him. He said he'd do it. Read it again with me just in case you think I'm wrong. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We can believe him, Brother Ernest. We can trust him. We can trust him. Hallelujah. Let's trust him. All right, let's all stand. Brother Ernest, you and Sister Willistein, come. Ready as a hymn, if you would. As the rest of us bow our head and pray, Father, thank you tonight for your word. God, thank you for sweet nuggets of truth in your word, just like this, that we can latch on to tonight. And God, we can comfortably rest in this verse, knowing that we're not stretching the verse. Lord, we're not trying to take it beyond its proper definition. God, we're not trying to make the word of God say something it don't say. If we'll ask anything in accordance to your will, Lord, you're obliged. You're obliged to do that we ask of you. You said you could do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ask or think. So, God, we've done all of this labor, all of this work. God, help us to do that smallest thing, which is just believe you by faith. Lord, there's not a soul under the sound of my voice tonight that don't need help from God. There's not a soul in this building tonight that don't need help from heaven. Lord, there might even be some that need to be saved tonight. Oh, God, Lord, I pray we've done all we know to do. Lord, we've worked to the point of exhaustion for some. Lord, we've given and will continue to give. We've done all we know to do. God, help us to just believe you and just trust you. Lord, you're God. You was a big God back yonder in the Old Testament when you created this world. You was a big God when you called Abraham, when you split the Red Sea. God, you've been a big God from the beginning until now. You're still a big God. And Lord, you're able. You're able. And Lord, the question we must ask ourselves is, are we able to believe you? Are we able to believe you? God, help us to believe. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.